if you didn't have a doctorate degree and took meth.
Yeah.
I feel like this is you right here.
Yeah. They were same coloration, about the same age. And if I let my beard grow out, that's about what it would look like, sorry to say.
Well, good thing it's not, man. You're looking great.
I was getting depressed just thinking about that.
Hi, I'm Dr. Drew, and this is Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Well, I think COVID has encouraged us all to pay attention to our vitamins and supplements. And when the science is there and not the hype, I am an advocate. I take them myself. That is why I'm happy to try Ned's Mellow Magnesium Super Blend. I dig it. It's a powder that you pour. It is designed to boost one of our body's most needed minerals, magnesium. And I always say, I had a fellow in residency who pounded on me about the importance of magnesium. I've been taking it for a while. It does have positive results. And magnesium is special. It supports hundreds of essential functions, mood, brain function, muscle health, even physical response to stress. And although it is the fourth most abundant mineral in our bodies, many adults do not get the amount of magnesium we need on a daily basis. So Ned's Mellow Magnesium Super Blend combines three forms of the mineral, L-theanine, GABA, and magnesium thionate, which is the only form shown to permeate the blood-brain barrier. It gets into the brain that way. This is key to its potential positive effect on memory and focus. Proper levels of magnesium can also improve nerve and muscle health, reduce anxiety, even promote more restful sleep. That's where I use it. Rather than packing all that into a giant capsule, Mellow comes as an individual powder, as I told you. It's a powder pouch. You just mix with water. It's available unflavored or lavender berry, which is really tasty. It's a cool blend of blueberry and lavender. I encourage you to check out Mellow for yourself. Go to helloned.com, helloned.com/Drew, or enter Drew at checkout for 15% off your first one-time order or 20% off your first subscription order plus free shipping. That's helloned, helloned.com/Drew, to get 15% off your first one-time order or 20% off your first subscription order plus free shipping. Thank you, Ned. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Dr. After Dark. It is me and you and your voice messages and a few videos and maybe some emails. I love it. Don't forget the store.ymhstudios.com where I want you all to have the Rational Revolution mug. There it is. You can have the Dr. After Dark t-shirt or the Anal Starts at 50 t-shirt, but I really want that mug. I want people to ask questions about the Rational Revolution that we are all engaged in to bring back critical thought and rationality, get out of the hysterical spin that everyone seems to be in. And, of course, give me the voice messages at 818-253-1693 and the emails at drdrafterdark@gmail.com. We got a lot to get into today. Boys in the hood, are you guys good?
Hell yeah.
Boys in the box.
Boys in the booth.
You guys? We've had a lot of fun. But mostly, again, I just want to encourage everyone to send those voice messages. Honest to goodness. People always come at me and say, oh, we need Loveline back, blah, blah, blah. Loveline wouldn't work today. It's just no, first of all, no one listens to radio and just, it just wouldn't work. But this is what we can do. We can bring the relationship questions. We begin the, you know, all the sexual functioning questions here, trauma questions, whatever it is you want to talk about. Here is the place you can bring that stuff. Now, speaking of bringing that stuff, can we get right on into some TikToks? I've had a hankering for TikToks for a little while here. And I'm guessing your TikTok folder has got some good stuff in it.
Yeah, we got a couple things for you.
I'm guessing. Imagine that.
I got a large fry and a sweet and sour sauce.
I'm Lincoln. I got a large fry and a sweet and sour sauce.
Hi, I'm Ian. I got a poor diet and sweet and sour cum.
I think I sent you that one. I think it just cracked me up. I was like, what? What are the Australian guy with the sweet and sour? He's so happy with himself.
So have you seen this batch? I wonder.
What? Uh-oh. No. I sent that one to you.
Oh, okay.
How about the disco ball in the background?
That's extra fun.
And the heavy bag.
In the
heavy
gym.
Bag and disco. And what's on the ceiling?
Cum. Like, a whole lot of cum.
No.
It's rainbow like, cum.
No. Oh, yeah. It is a rainbow there. But it is like the Sistine Chapel or something. But good for him.
Painted in cum.
Way to go, mate. I just thought that was so funny. So, all right. Give me another one. I'm so proud of having brought one. I brought one to light. I've actually sent one in that you guys use. It's past muster. It's incredible.
So I was thinking tonight, and I'm angry. And the issue is that women are fucking stupid. Like, literally, if you think about it, we could have just kept our mouths shut, and we wouldn't have to work 40 hours a week. 40 plus hours a week. when I was a single mom, I was on salary, I wasn't making that much. Honey, I was working fucking 80 hours a week. Like, I don't want to do that shit. Like, I'd rather have the man work 80 hours a week. Like, I'll stay home, raise my kids, maintain a homestead. Like, this is ridiculous, women. This is our own fault. If you could have just kept your damn mouth shut from talking about the right to work, like, we'd be fine. Unless I'm talking about the right to vote. That is a big-ass responsibility, women. I don't want that responsibility. I want to stay home. I want to work out. I want to watch my baby. I want to take care of the house. I will cook. I will clean. Honey, I will be on my knees every night blowing you.
Well, okay. I mean, there's someone for everyone, right? And I'm sure someone responded to her. Now, what I find amusing about her, I actually saw her thing on TikTok and I cracked my ass up. I did not send it to you.
You could see how this speaks to Christina, though, right?
Oh, I'm... So I did not send this to you, but that means this thing was like really trending, that it caught on my feed. You know what I mean?
Or maybe you and Christina have tapped into the same algorithm.
No. I promise you not. I told you I'm watching like historical TikToks about the Plantagenet succession, and I'm watching virologists and immunologists. That's literally all I kind of go into.
Watching workout dudes talking about their sweet and sour cum.
That one came up, and so did she. I mean, stuff gets on my feed. Don't get me wrong, but in terms of what I'm looking at, I'm not looking at the same stuff that Christina looks like. Although periodically I see people with crazy long fingernails and crazy tattoos, and I think, should I send that to them? Nah, Christina's already got it. I'm sure. What else you got? Come on, I'm loving the TikTok.
Hello, everyone. Oh. I want to know, what is your favorite cereal? Your favorite cereal. Mine are cornflakes. So let me know what your favorite cereal is.
So, Annie, when he freestyles about cornflakes, you figure it sounds about like you? this guy's got flow?
Yeah, there is a flow. It's not quite like mine, but I mean, everybody's got their own, their own flavor, their own flow.
Their own flavor, right. What, you guys have a favorite cereal? I'm on a no carb diet, so I don't eat cereal, but what do you guys like?
Oh shit. I liked, my mom usually, I have a weird relationship with cereal.
My mom?
Well, yeah, I mean, I relate cereal with childhood because I don't even eat breakfast as an adult.
I see. Okay. I see.
So what would happen is we would ask for Cocoa Puffs or Cocoa Krispies.
Right. So the chocolate.
And then she'd get us the Kirkland Costco version of it.
Right.
Big old dog food bag.
That's fucked up.
And on the first bowl, we'd be like, we don't like the taste of this. And she's like, well, you're not getting shit until you finish this bag. And then we became a no cereal household.
Oh, so you never got to the Cocoa Puffs.
Right. So like, the shit that if I go for cereal these days, I'm getting Reese's Puffs.
Oh, you're going way
I'm getting
deep.
Cookie Crisps.
Oh,
I'm getting Cinnamon
deep.
Toast Crunch. I'm getting dessert cereal.
I got to say, when I was a kid, I was a cereal consumer, and it was inadvisable given my genetics and my biology. It was really a stupid thing for me to be doing, but I did always consume cereal, and I would say Quisp and Quake were way up my list. You remember those? No?
Sorry, say that again?
Quisp and Quake. Look them up. Let's see the pictures. Quisp and Quake. And it seemed like it was always Quisp. I don't remember what the Quake was.
Quisp? You mean Crisp?
No, Q-U-I-S-P. Q-U-I-S-P cereal. And it was like a Martian on the cover. Yeah, see? The guy with the beanie on his head. That's Quisp.
This guy?
Yeah. And then Quake was like the big.
By Quaker. All right.
Yeah. Crisp and Quake.
Wow. There's even old t-shirts about it.
Yeah. Look at that.
I'm
imagining they don't make the cereal anymore, right?
Definitely not.
It was good.
Or maybe not. I don't know. I don't really go into
like,
cereal.
The sugar profile was like, you couldn't get more sugar than if you were spooning sugar directly into your mouth out of, crystalline sugar. Here are porn preferences. I was listening to you talk to Ryan Sickler, who's on Sickler's show, about how seeing stuff at a young age can lock in sexual preferences. You guys ever heard me talk about this?
I think a little bit, yeah, on the last few episodes.
Yeah. So, no, I don't think so. But I have talked about it. And that is that there's something about particularly the male development that around 11 to 14, particularly around 12, 13, things that the male is looking at. Now, I don't know why we look at certain things as men, but when you find a preference around age 12, that stays with you. That's what you like.
Ooh, so the first thing that makes you hard is always going
to
make you
hard. No, not first thing. That's the part I can't quite figure out is how do they get to that preference at age 12? Now, back in the day, all you had was Playboy, right? And so you'd sort of find what you liked given what Playboy offered. Now, oh my God, maybe they don't get so locked in because they're exposed to so much with pornography and stuff. But that they do, what does tend to happen, I have seen, is that sexual practices get dialed in around 12 to 14 because of looking at pornography. And let's not forget, man, average age of porn exposure now is like 7 to 9. Jeez. We have no idea the full implications of that yet.
That's so young.
So he says, I don't want to, this is my call here, Ricky, I don't want to raise a sissy of Fremont Street. Is that something I should know?
It's just a super cool guy.
Oh, I got to see him, can I?
You've seen him.
Oh.
He's the one that's just like, yeah, I want you to wear a white dress and then beat the shit out of me.
I don't think I've seen
You've
him.
Definitely I've seen this seen guy. Him. You've
better show him to me. How can I expose them to more realistic expectations of what sex life is like without being a weirdo, mommy? So restrain the access to the internet to like an hour a day and put lots of various kinds of containments on where they can go. My friend Lisa Stroman, who really works in this area, that's what she does with her kids. And she says what they're getting into is ridiculous and it needs to be contained because it has a bad effect on them. So if we're no big deal, then we let it go. But it has a bad effect. Oh, yes, I do remember this guy. But I want to see more. Yeah.
I'm looking for a white lady that's tattooed and dominant and be willing to put me in a dress and beat the shit out of me. Call me. I'm the sissy of Fremont Street.
I don't think he was that clear when I saw him. Like, his preferences were a little vaguer and he didn't have a name. Sissy of Fremont Street. Are there more with him?
I mean, he's like Baskin Robbins. You know, he's got 31 flavors.
But
he's
when I saw him before, he was just sort of peculiar. Now he's got a whole brand going. So we have any more with him?
I mean, it's on very similar lanes.
The sissy of Fremont Street is just crazy. Fremont, like, is he in San Francisco or something? This is so wild.
I think he might be somewhere near Vegas.
So back to Ricky and Ryan Sickler. You know, they're gonna glom onto what they glom onto, and you know, your job is not to, you know, mandate that they have certain preferences or mandate they're exposed to certain things. Just, you know, keep the open-ended questions. The more that things are de-intensified, that they can regulate what they're seeing, the less of a sort of impact it has on their central nervous system, if that makes sense. Turned on by arguing. Hi, I'm a 29-year-old woman. I saw my parents argue all the time growing up. Now I get turned on by arguing with my partner. Isn't that weird? Yes, but not uncommon. I don't like the consequence of arguing, but it makes me want to touch myself and have an orgasm. Ooh, boy. How could I stop the arguing? Also, my partner wants me to pee on his dick. I'm like, how? I don't know how. I don't know either. Please help. Is it normal to orgasm through the clit? Yes. Thank you in advance. Love the podcast. Very informative and funny. Okay. So,
boy, this one's loaded, huh?
Lots of stuff in here. So most women have orgasm through direct stimulation of the clitoris. They cannot through intercourse. It's most women are that way. That doesn't mean all women are that way. About 10% or so are like, oh, what's our friend that has 10 orgasms every time she has sex? Kelsey.
Oh, yeah. Kelsey Cook.
Kelsey Cook. Yeah. And there are plenty of other people that kind of sort of are in between, but most women need to have some sort of direct clitoral stimulation to have an orgasm. The arguing with your parents traumatizes you, and that's why you're reenacting that trauma. The arousal is misplaced, and I would urge you maybe to get some trauma treatment because it's not going to be good for your relationships being constantly fighting so you can get highly aroused. It does not make sense unless you can do it playfully, unless you can find a way to pretend. But I don't think that's
how do you make that playful?
Yeah, I don't think there is. I'm just.
Oh, and he's got ideas.
Oh no, for sure. That's a role play. You just first of all, I got some experience, but it's a role play.
It doesn't involve cornflakes.
No.
What is involved? You just sort of say I'm going to kick your ass. You have to. What do you do?
Here, why don't you guys do a little role play and show?
All right, Annie.
What
so
it's like.
I guess I'm the woman here. I get so turned on when you talk shit about me and my parents, Annie. So let's get at this.
Yeah, why do you like getting turned on by that?
Because I used to see my parents fight all the time, and it just, I don't know, it's weird, isn't it?
I remind you of your parents, is that what you're saying? I remind you of your
no,
dad.
No, it's not like that. It's just the arousal of the arguing is what I like. I'm just sick of that
stupid face. You know, you're always looking at me with that fucking smile.
I feel guilty about it. I'm not smiling. Keep going.
I don't like the way it's so difficult to do this with switching. I don't like the way that you cross your arms like that and you look at me with those big old arms.
This is getting a little dominant. It's not the dominant so much that I like. I just like the fighting. So I think you're
well, look, I'm trying everything for you and you're giving me nothing. What am I supposed to do?
Okay, you're right.
What am I supposed to do?
I told you I can't do this stuff. I'm no good at it.
I'm still role playing, Drew.
I know. I'm being real, and I figured that'll give you something to really go at me about. So
this is good. Is this what you guys are going to be saying right before you go in his butt to check that that Fisher?
Oh, now okay. Hold on. Okay. Now hold on. This is very interesting. Yeah, we can role play and fight.
No, Drew.
Drew, we cannot role play. No.
And when you've done this in the past with other partners, Andy, is there like costuming attire or anything associated with it?
It depends. Role play can get into cosplay, can get into
look at you.
Whatever, you know.
What kind of cos you been in?
Huh?
What kind of costumes you been in?
I have not been nope. Yeah.
Okay, what about your partner? What has she been in? What's she put on? Let's talk about her costumes.
Usually when they're into wearing stuff, it's either like fantasy or it's anime, and my girl was into anime, so she wore anime.
So it's,
it's like, you know, like, God, they make those girls wear like the tightest possible clothes possible, showing the most amount of skin. It's like
right,
that
the little,
like, you know,
short
little
skirts
floss
and stuff,
for
and
fucking
the weird
shirt.
Big eye makeup and and pigtails and stuff.
And
then you're in like what the fox outfit from Pinocchio. That's sort of your thing.
Fox outfit, Pinocchio. Damn.
Hi, diddly dee. Let's pull an actor's life for me. Anyway, I know. Oh, here we go. Here he comes. That's apparently one of the big costumes.
You might be talking about furry. Oh boy, you talking
see?
Furries?
See? I see. What you're I am talking. Furry.
Oh, you're talking about furries? Yeah. No. I've never done that.
Okay.
I've never done that. But no. I usually. Not usually, but when I did dress up, it was like the leather. Like she liked it and all that.
Oh,
leather.
I see.
So I did like the full suit. Not the zipper, but yeah, I had the head suit on.
Ew.
Yeah, I look good though.
And
I'll send you a picture one time.
Send me a picture. Well, let's put it up on TikTok.
On your phone, you can airdrop so we can show everybody.
Absolutely not. Absolutely.
We gotta take a video.
It's in my keepsafe, you know what I mean?
TikTok, my friend.
It's
come on.
It's all album. I got you.
Christina needs this. I know I'm representing her here. She is going to want this in the worst way.
Oh,
so expect to hear more about this in upcoming shows. But I do think that sounds terribly uncomfortable to me, having the thing over your face and stuff too. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, it's a little bit uncomfortable at first. You come around.
But here's what you got to point out. God bless men, right? You'll do whatever you got to do, right? She wants help. Okay, I'm done. Let's go.
To toot my own horn, that's probably the funnest part about me is that I get off by things that get you off. If I know that it's really going to get you to that place, I just love it.
I get it. I get that.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. I just can't, just got no flow.
You gotta
fix that.
Man, you got flow. You told me all about the pelvic
floor,
musculature.
I taught you about that.
All you gotta do is just say with a deep voice and conviction, like you say, we need the homeless people off the streets. You gotta be like, baby, you want those pelvic musculatures to tremble or not?
Okay, dude, I get it. I get it.
Those floors, baby.
See, I knew you were a good coach. I knew I didn't bring this up with you. And if I have trouble, I'll get you on the phone, okay? All right.
Please do.
Feeling like I need to piss when high. Hi, mommy. Sometimes when I get high in edibles, I feel like I need to pee, and even sometimes feel like I'm pissing a little. I'm a healthy 22-year-old male. I'm medication. Why is this? I don't know. I've not really heard that. I'm guessing there's just sort of, you know, certain pharmacological agents can loosen the ring down there. They loosen the musculature, and you're probably relaxing the musculature, and that makes it feel like something's descending in the bladder muscle. So the bladder kind of descends a little bit before you pee, and that's probably what's happening, make you feel like you need to pee. Dr. Denham, diagnosed with C. difficile about a year ago when I was 23, after I spent a week spraying mucus and what appeared to be dry Italian herbs out of my ass almost every meal. A year and some $5,000 antibiotics later, I'm serious, severely underweight, seem to still not be absorbing nutrients. Do you have any advice on this? Piss on me, beat me, bathe me in a septic tank. It's the first time we've seen that one. James, you probably have the small bowel, the intestinal bacterial overgrowth syndrome, the SIBO. And it is something that needs more antibiotics, I'm sorry to tell you, but a different antibiotic than what you are on. Sometimes after people have been on a long course of antibiotics like this for things like C. difficile or pneumonias even, they get these bacterial overgrowths. I've seen people that have, for instance, repeated norovirus, even viruses after repeated episodes. You get this bacterial overgrowth in the small bowel that causes persistent noise, irritability, diarrhea, lack of absorption, all that stuff. But by all means, you should see a gastroenterologist if you have not seen someone already. Are you carrying credit card balance month after month? Well, you are not the only one. High interest rates make it hard to pay off your debt. But Upstart can help. Join the thousands of happy borrowers who made that final payment. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off your debt with personal loan. It's all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards or consolidating high interest debt or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple fixed monthly payment. Unlike other lenders, Upstart looks at more than just your credit score, like say your income and employment history. They look at that. This means they can offer you smarter rates with trusted partners. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate upfront for loans between $1,000 and $50,000. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payment today when you go to upstart.com/Dr. Drew. That is upstart.com/Dr. Drew. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Well, the future of toileting has arrived. Okay, it's technically been around for centuries, but very expensive, costing thousands usually. But now the brand new Hello Tushy 3.0 modern bidet attachment is here to level the playing field. It is stylish, eco-friendly, easy to install, affordable. Hello Tushy 3.0 doesn't just cleanse your butt with a precise stream of water. It cleans itself before and after it's used with the Smart Spray automatic self-cleaning nozzle. It attaches to your existing toilet, requires no electricity or additional plumbing, and cuts toilet paper use by 80%. So the Hello Tushy bidet pays for itself in a few months. Because with Hello Tushy, you don't wipe at all. Just poop, spray, dry, and go. And sanitation is simple. The Schmutz Shield offers easy cleaning, and the knobs are naturally antimicrobial. Already got a tush on your pot? Well, upgrade to the new 3.0 model. If you have one, I guarantee you, you're an advocate. If you're new to the revolution, join the millions of happy Hello Tushy customers right now and have a clean butt with every flush. And wet wipes aren't better than toilet paper. They're bad for the environment. They cause anal irritation. You don't want fissures and that kind of thing. Here's what you do want to do. You want to go to hellotushy.com/Drew, HELLOTUSHY, hellotushy.com/Drew, and get 10% off your order and free shipping. Can I get a voicemail?
Hey there, Dr. Jeans and Mommy Jeans. This is Brooke, and I have my birth control expiring here soon. And so I was really trying to figure out if I wanted to go with like a copper IUD or some other non-hormonal kind of birth control. My biggest concern, though, with getting the IUD is that my boyfriend currently is rather large and regularly hits my cervix during sex. And so I was curious if that'd make it more likely that the IUD would get pushed out of place and possibly... thank you so much. Keep it high and tight, okay. And love you guys.
Thank Bye. You. I like the way she just jumps right to the conclusion. So, your boyfriend with the big schwanz. The problem is, if we listened to one of the previous shows, we talked to a young lady whose boyfriend had a similar issue and was getting poked with the wire that you leave in the IUD to be able to pull it out when the time comes. And that's the main problem he's going to have in terms of him moving the IUD around. It once it's secure in place, that doesn't tend to happen. I mean, you can imagine that if that were really an issue, we'd hear a lot more of these kinds of things. But I don't know that it's impossible. So we have talked to the obstetrician about that. You know, people, if you're very sensitive to the hormones, that Mirena, which is a progesterone impregnated IUD, again, it goes into the uterus, people have side effects from that. I know that doctors don't like sort of admitting that. They feel like it's just locally active. But I've seen migraines, I've seen low libido, I've seen dry vaginal tissue. All from the Mirena. So I understand why you might want that copper 7 or the one of the copper IUDs. And go proceed with that. I mean, I think that's a reasonable way to go. And I wouldn't worry so much about the large penis, though I would discuss it with your gynecologist. More voice messages. See how good the women are? They're so great.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hi, buddy.
This is Max from Buffalo, New York. I'm calling because I'm having an issue with my balls.
Go Bills.
Every time I sneeze, it hurts my balls like hell. I know there's a possibility of that being a hernia. I don't think it is. I don't often feel pain down there for any other reason, just when I sneeze. If there's anything you can tell me about that, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you very much. And you bet I'll see you up in May.
Ooh, I think I know what's wrong with this guy's balls.
Go ahead.
One of two options.
Uh-huh.
As usual, probably a little too much cum in those balls, but what I think most likely is he has a hernia probably, right?
No, I can't say that because he's saying, you know, the pain from hernia is sort of more in the inguinal area. This is in his testicles. And I got to say, stump me. He has stumped me. I don't know what's going on there, but someone needs to examine your testicles to see what is going on. I don't know if there's maybe an epididymitis. There can be some inflammation in the testes, and a lot of things can stir that up, including bearing down that can cause some difficulty.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm semi-stumped. I've not really dealt with that problem before, but maybe through someone examining the testes, you would figure it out. I'm going to guess, and it's strictly a guess, epididymitis. Do you want to show me epididymitis, Nadav?
Yeah, I was going to say maybe something in the semivesies.
Yeah, epididymitis. I've shown it to you before, but we've nearly gotten, no, it's never been by myself. We can get into it deep here. So, yes, you see any, no, the left upper corner. There you go. So you see the testy, right? You see that thing sitting on top of it? That thing, that is your epididymis. And that's sort of a lot of little tubules processing center of the sperm as it gets ready to move up the vas deferens. And the epididymis can get inflamed really easily. And so epididymitis is a rather common thing. It's associated with STDs, not uncommonly, but it doesn't have to be an STD. So I'm just going to guess epididymitis in the gentleman's case. Huh? You learned something? You good?
Learning the time with you, Drew. And actually, I have a follow-up question.
Uh-oh.
I feel like I might have asked you this. I can't remember if it was on camera or off camera, but I definitely forgot the answer.
I can't wait.
Whether I should be scared or something. But
okay.
When I, like sometimes I'll have a sneeze attack. Granted, I haven't had one of these in a long time. But if I have a sneeze attack, like three or four sneezes in a row.
Yep.
Sometimes my appendages, like my arms or my
go numb.
They go
numb.
My arms will go numb.
Yeah, that's from Valsalving. That's from bearing down. When you bear down hard like that, like your heart rate slows.
Because I'm so fucking tense.
It's you're bearing down too hard. You just got to kind of breathe a little more.
Oh, but the way that I sneeze, also this is very stupid.
Uh oh.
The way that I sneeze,
you bend over.
No.
Well, I'm thinking of things that if you bend over and suddenly pull your head up to sneeze. That can do it too.
Well, what I do is I plug my nose.
Oh my God, why?
It's just something I've always done as
a kid. Let's stop that. Well, you're blow your eardrums out.
Well, at this point, I think I have them pretty calloused where that can happen.
Dude, stop.
Well, no, because everyone that I tell that to is just like, that's gonna fuck you up. And then one time I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna not plug my nose.
Yeah.
And then I tried to do a normal, I don't know how to sneeze normal, so I like fucked up my esophagus for like two full weeks because I sneezed stupid.
I understand. Annie, I thought I had trouble with cornflakes. Nadav's got me. Nadav's got
me.
Yeah,
trying to change Nadav is quite the task.
I've
it doesn't
that.
Work.
Oh,
it,
okay.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. You're super malleable too, bud.
Yeah, man, I'm open-minded. I said Drew could look at my butt. You understand how otherworldly that is for me?
Otherworldly. Love it. This is my advisor for the governor run, too. I want you to know, that dude and I are going to be close. Let's stay with the balls. This is a blue ball question from Harrison, 19 years old. Every time I have a sexual encounter, I get severe pain in my testicles. I do not finish. My balls get extremely sensitive. The tubes connect to my testes often swell. Oh boy. The pain of time travels into my stomach. Oh boy, I can't walk for hours, can't focus. It fades over a few hours. This occurs for the first time most intensely at age 15 after I had my first kiss. So it's kind of a blue ball thing here. Since that has occurred almost every interaction where my dick gets some attention, I don't come. Yeah. Take care of your business. I always dismiss the pain after it went away simply as blue balls, yeah, but the consistency with which it has been occurring has become a real hindrance to my life. I always had pretty intense anxiety, pressure to finish, blah, blah, blah. Further continuing, blah, 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 blah. Ball torture, piss on me, beat me. You may also have some inflammation from all the irritation. You get prostatitis, you can get epididymitis, the male system the plumbing needs to be cleared on a pretty regular basis with the male. And if you don't do it yourself, God will do it for you at night. You understand what I'm saying? And you seem to need a little help with this, and you've got to get on it. You need to clear the pipes much, much more. And also at this point, you may want to see a urologist because you may also have prostatitis and or epididymitis like we talked about before.
Good morning, my dick.
Good morning, my dick. Hey, mommies. My name is John. I'm a 19-year-old man. I've been seeing this woman for the past couple of months. Sex is amazing, but recently she's been sucking in my meat, giving me blah, 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 blah. especially my finger. Wait, a numbness in my face, full body numbness. I never bust my load at first. I was afraid I was stroking out, but now I find my bodily numbness to be euphoric. My cream stays within my balls. Again, see what you've done to Dov. He thinks it comes from his balls. From my girlfriend's perspective, it looks like I'm having a seizure. I normally orgasm when we have sex and don't get this numbness whatsoever. Why do I not orgasm when she performs fellatio or tugs my penis? And why do I experience such an intense feeling of euphoric numbness when she does these things? And why does it happen when I put, why doesn't it happen when I put it inside her? She seems concerned but doesn't mind when I'm having the seizure. Any help would be great. Everyone is stimulated differently by different sexual activities, right? A lot of people can't orgasm with oral sex. A lot of people only orgasm with oral sex. We're all over the map as human beings, and our preferences are all over the map as well. Now, in this case, it sounds like she's stimulating you so completely that once again, your heart rate is dropping, your sympathetic system is in overdrive, and you can't shift into the other autonomic functions that allow you to orgasm, and it becomes overstimulating, literally overstimulated.
I just want to let you know, Drew, you literally just did it. You literally just did the flow that you need to do. I can't repeat what you said because I don't speak your language.
Okay, I got it.
But you just did it.
Okay.
You just said your seminal, I can't even repeat it. So, okay. What did you just say? Repeat
that, please. Let me think about the different preferences and the stimulating until people have sympathetic overdrive and have their heart rate goes down. And it's literally, it's really, in his case, it's the blood being broke and turned off from he's not getting blood to his brain. That's why he's having this sort of seizure-like activity. It's hypotensive seizure, probably. That's what I think is happening there. Good times, everybody. Voice messages, please.
So good, Drew.
Yeah, man. I'm into it. You'll listen to me in the background. And you'll tell me what I'm doing. I like that coaching.
Hey, Hitlers.
Hey there.
This is Jonathan all the way from New York City. I just have a question. I haven't had sex in a couple of months, and when I make white and masturbate, it's not really white. It comes out
yellow
with a tint of yellow, almost looking like a highlighter.
Yeah.
Is that normal? Is it mixed with urine? I don't know. Piss on me, beat me. I love you guys.
Well, interesting problem. There could be some mixing with the urine. It also could be that the you need to clear those pipes again. They could be a little infection or bacteria left behind. You know, yellow is sort of a bacterial thing. It could also be blood. So blood, when it breaks down, gets yellow and green. So there could be some hematospermia. I would suggest you get that evaluated because I'm just not sure quite exactly what might be going on there. It's probably nothing. Hematospermia usually, is this good flow, Nadav? I mean, Danny?
So, well, I was actually going to say this is textbook way too much cum in those balls.
Yeah, essentially.
Nailed it.
Yeah. But it could be blood. And blood in the semen is actually not a very big deal, but it always should be evaluated. It's much like the headaches I taught you guys about, I think, last episode, where you have the thunderclap headaches, the postcoital headaches that, they're usually nothing, but they do warrant evaluation. So I like these questions. I like them. Well done, Jonathan. Next.
Hey, Dr. James and Mommy Christine. My name's Troy, and I'm a 23-year-old male living in Colorado. My wife and I used to get it on in the shower, and after making white, I'd always get really lightheaded, and my vision would start to narrow. The last time we did it, I actually blacked out and woke up a few seconds later, and she was picking me up off the shower floor, pretty shaken by it, as you imagine. So naturally, I did the right thing and pretended it never happened. I was just wondering if you could tell me why this happens. You bet I'm coming up in May.
You
just
bet.
Not in the shower.
Yeah, bye. Buddy. So it's funny. These are all the same kind of calls, right? Where the sympathetic overdrive, and in this case, maybe it's parasympathetic overdrive because that's something slowing your heart down to the point where you faint, like your blood pressure is dropping. And again, the stimulation from the sexual arousal can go all kinds of different directions if there's not a release, let's say. And you may want to not be standing up when you have sex. That may just be you. You get super aroused. You get your slow heart rate. Now, the problem, though, is that you, again, I can't just sort of dismiss this all of, hey, man, that's you, whatever you're into. There can be congenital issues of the heart that delay the ability of the heart to push the blood through. There can be congenital or even acquired electrical disturbances where you could be, as a result of this arousal, triggering some arrhythmias that are rather serious. So you need to see a cardiologist when this kind of thing happens. Sorry about that.
Oh,
and I suppose You know, the reason I did not recommend cardiologist for my numbness seizure guy is because he wasn't actually passing out, and it was, you know, high level of stimulation. This is you just sort of engage in sexual activity in an upright posture and fainting. And so it's kind of an easy, you know, it's sort of your tendency to faint is a lot more than my buddy here with the seizures. So I would like a cardiologist to evaluate that just to be sure.
So two follow-up questions. Mm-hmm. Is the fact that this is happening in the shower at all, and like there's, it's just a, like it's hot.
It can be because you're dilated, you know, your vessels dilate in the heat, and that might be further pooling the blood out in the periphery. And that's certainly part of it, possibly. But I'm telling you, you can have, you know, you can have valvular problems in the heart where there's some stenosis and the blood's not able to get out the way it should. And when you stress things, you know, this sort of becomes more symptomatic, whether it's atrial stenosis or a right ventricular problem. There can be all kinds of cool stuff from my standpoint. I was going to be a cardiologist. You don't know this. I was going hard down the cardiology path before I sort of started working in a psychiatric hospital and got sidetracked by all that.
Yeah, I was on that path too. I was really
I know,
close
I knew you were. I knew
doctor.
That. We were on the rotation together. What are you going to say?
Yeah.
And then rhythm disturbances are also very interesting. The electrical activity of the heart is a fascinating thing. I mean, people that just specialize in that. And again, activity of this sort can bring on these rhythms or bring out these rhythms that if you look at an EKG, sometimes you can see the abnormalities that are associated with that. So you can sort of do an electrophysiology study maybe if you need to. So.
And then here's the other question that I have is maybe, because I know, you know, whenever I've done it in a shower, I'm always very conscious of like foot placement, like, oh boy, this is how you break your hip, old boy, you know?
How old are you?
32.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
I'm 72, worry
I'm
about over, that.
I'm overly conscious that I'm going to slip and fall in the shower while doing my business, and it's just going to be the most embarrassing. So like over-concentration of just making sure your foot placement.
That's going to just make you not have an orgasm. But
yep, that's definitely, you know, that could happen.
But what's amusing to me is that the more serious and majority of accidents in the home happen in the bathroom. That's where people slip and hit their head. That's where they break their hips.
Yeah, see? Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
And a lot of it's in the shower. A lot of it's on the hard bathroom floor. So the bathroom is the number one location for serious falls. So, Nadav, you're not too unreasonable, but 30-year-olds don't fall, especially when they're having sex. There's a lot of other things that... Andy, help me here. Forget, I mean...
Yeah, no, man. Like, I mean, I'm definitely on the opposite side of the spectrum of extreme, but yeah, like, I like
Andy's
the challenge.
He's got a trapeze in the shower.
I mean, like I said, I'd come right over the toilet, and you have to stand to do that, and don't get me wrong, the first time I did it, my knees buckled, and I'm like, oh, shit, this is difficult to do, but I kind of like that. It ups the challenge, and it made me even harder.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah,
he's
yeah, coming for
he
sure.
Likes,
you know
he rises to every challenge, Nadav.
But look, I'm saying, look, I've never fallen while having sex, but that doesn't mean I'm not afraid of it. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, be careful. I'm not saying you to be cavalier, but I'm saying there's other priorities that a 30-year-old has in a shower while having sex. Just think about those.
And I'll tell you, I have fallen in the shower when I was fucking a girl. We were drunk as shit. And I mean, you get the fuck back. I mean, it's no big deal. We just went and we laughed, and then we took it in the bedroom, and I fucked shit.
You didn't break your leg?
I did not break my leg.
All right.
Believe it or not.
See, that's my fear.
You're good, man. Your legs are strong.
Good times, Danny. Good times. Do we have any more voice messages?
What's up, there, chomos? Listen here. This smoker. Is Nathan. I have a brown question for you. Mm-hmm. Whenever I brown, and invariably. About 30 minutes later, I have to wipe again. See a little itch in the bunghole? Wipe down there, and it's as if I hadn't wiped earlier. Yeah. What's going on? Thanks, mommies.
Well,
coming up in May.
I don't know how old he is. He didn't tell us, but there can be, first of all, it could be issues of sort of loosening. As you get older, that valve isn't as secure as it used to be, so it's not an uncommon thing as people get older. You got to get used to cleaning things a little bit differently than when you were in your teens or something. Could also be his diet and maybe not enough bulk in the diet. This could be the way he's sort of, again, I'm recommending a lot of Metamucil and that sort of thing and bran for our callers these days. But sometimes that helps with this sort of, it's a leak essentially. Medication can make it a problem, both again, in terms of the stool not being solid and also the anal ring not being as tight as it should be.
Now here's a hypothesis.
Yeah.
Is it maybe... that he was, that, you know, when he took his brown, he didn't take a full brown, and then he just has one like left in the chamber, and it's trying to scratch its way out.
It's sort of what's happening, but it's because he doesn't have enough bulk there to I was looking up here. I actually TikToked. I sent myself a TikTok of what the bowel looks like moving stool through when you open somebody up. You guys have so many questions about that. I thought I should try to. Well, now I can't find it. It's something I can't come up with. No, let's hear another voice message while I'm fishing around for this.
You got it.
Good morning, my doctors and mommies above 18.
Yeah,
George,
buddy.
And I have a question regarding white and yellow. Uh-huh. So I understand that there's a lever or a valve of some sort in my penis that blocks the white when yellow is coming out and blocks the yellow when white is coming out. Mm-hmm. My question is, does that part of my penis wear down over time?
Oh.
Like, does jing my D or having sex, you know, over a course of a lifetime, I guess, does that make it weaker as time goes on, or does it actually make it stronger? Or am I just fully talked and there's no change at all? Was genuinely curious and would like to know. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Live Life 365.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Thank you. Just a curious caller. Here's the deal. It does not really change over time. You can sort of make it a little less efficacious. Like if you ever try to hold back an ejaculate or something, your body doesn't like that. When the stuff is ready to come out of your body, like a sneeze, Nadav, or semen or whatever,
right,
you kind of got to let it go. You can sort of weaken the musculature that way.
Like if you have too much cum in those balls.
No, it's really if you have we had calls from people who like hold their penis at the tip and. No, we've had that.
Ooh, I've done that once.
Yeah,
and then it kind of just stayed in there and it never came out.
Well, that
gets reabsorbed, right?
No, that's a retrograde ejaculation. That mean the valve didn't work quite right and went back into your bladder, and that can happen.
So I got too much cum in my bladder. Now.
It depends where you push. Like did you push on the perineum? There are guys that do that a lot, that they like being clean, you know, and they will push on the perineum when they're ejaculating, and it pushes the semen back into the bladder.
Oh.
Also, not good. This is not good for that function, because when it comes time to maybe have a family, sometimes you can kind of train your body to push it all back in the bladder every time, and that doesn't go well when it's time for fertility.
Every time.
So the biggest thing, if you're normally functioning, J-ing your D, as you say, and all that stuff's not going to affect anything as long as you just let it fly. Medication can really affect it. Medication is the number one cause of that valve not kind of working right. But if you're on that medicine and it does that, you get off that medicine and things usually come back. And there are medicines to kind of make it right if it happens spontaneously. They don't work that well. They don't work that well. Good question. Blue Chew, it's making waves, bringing more confidence to the bedroom. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED and can help men gain confidence when it is time to perform. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the physician's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in lines at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? All done online, no threshold. It's efficient. You should do it. It's all done without any discomfort. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. If you don't like swallowing pills, there's no problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil are chewable. That's right. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. And guys, here's a special deal for you. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Drew at checkout. Free. Just pay $5 shipping. That is Blue Chew, BlueChew, BlueChew.com, promo code Drew to receive your first month free.
Hey, Dr. Mommy. I had a thought on my drive home today.
Uh-oh.
What do they do with your butthole after they give you a colostomy bag? Do they just tie it off? Like a sausage, like a sausage casing, I guess? Or do they remove it and sew your asshole up? Because somebody beat me, I will definitely be coming up in May. Thanks,
so it's actually a little bit complicated. You know, you're not just tying off the anus like a sausage, you know, like a smoky link. That's not happening. And you're talking about somebody that has a like a colectomy. Like they're not hooking things back up again. These days they try to hook things back up. Even if it's the colon that's been taken out, they still try to do something to give you some ability to sort of evacuate normally, or they create a pouch. There's various things that they do now. So if they were just going to tie things off and take everything out and give you a colostomy, they would tie it off right inside at the base of the rectum there. But that's a pretty rare thing. You know, more the colostomies are taken back down and everything's hooked back up again. And so the tying off, so to speak, is further upstream. It's nothing to do with the anus. It really has nothing to do with the anus. It's all about the rectum and the colon and what the surgeons do with it.
I actually have a question. Like, so say, for example, someone, what is the average duration? Like how long if someone has a colostomy bag? Like, I mean, granted, like, some of them are permanent, but
yeah,
like how?
No, it's like 3 to 6 weeks. Let's do a colectomy. Look up.
Is there like can your muscles, is it called dystrophy? Like could they get weaker and deteriorate in your butt?
No.
Where it'll make browning different?
That doesn't happen. Well, things are different because the plumbing is different, but it's not that.
Right.
Look up colectomy. Colectomy, which means an entire colon removal. Let's see if they draw a picture of that. There you go. And well, you can't see where they really tie it off, can you? Nope, they just show you pictures of colons and where they could. They're talking about partial colectomies there. Yeah, people don't do really. I mean, complete colectomy is kind of a rare thing these days. There's one right there. Let's see. So they just hook the small bowel up to the rectum. That's what they do with that one, which I thought was mostly what they do these days. Okay, let's go to more voice message.
Wild.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dr. Drew. And you know what? Hey, and the dog, too. Hope you guys are doing good. I think this is one that we haven't really, or the podcast hasn't talked about in a while.
Oh, boy.
It's marijuana edibles, of course. So I realize that a lot of people have problems with them. I'm sure that you guys are familiar with it. But recently, I took edibles that were way too much, and you know, I found myself, I think, having a seizure maybe. Mm-hmm. So you know, I just want to know what you think about that and what some of the effects of that could be. I'm still very young too.
Yeah,
so I'm just wondering if there's any negative impacts there. But yeah, let me know what you think.
You sound like you're fine, right? You sound like you've had no real effect from, and if you're not using these high doses chronically, you should be fine. But listen, there can be seizure and there can be psychosis. It does happen. Now, who gets these things, whether they have predisposed conditions or not, you got to go get a neurological evaluation, because that seizure could, once you've had seizure, even though it was medication induced, it could potentially come back and you could be driving a car or something. It could be a disaster.
It's like a Pandora's box situation type thing?
Not really. Like he may have been predisposed a little bit and then had a high dose of substance in there and seizure.
Right, because there's some rule where if you have a seizure, it's like you're not allowed to drive for the next 6 or 12 months or
right.
something. Right,
but to be fair, I mean, sometimes they can be on medication and they can kind of work with that, that sort of thing. Mm. But that's up to the neurologist. But you don't want to risk driving and having a seizure. You want to get on some medication. They may only keep you on it for a year and then let you get off. But let that be a little learning experience for you. The people that have the bigger trouble are the ones that get psychotic episodes from wax and things like that. And oftentimes they're people that already had either tendency towards schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. Alex Berenson wrote a book on this called Tell Your Children the Truth. And he evaluated all the data that's out there on episodes like this. And there's a lot of data where this stuff happens. Now, obviously high dose, but still concerning. Concerning. So, and in some people, you know, once they get psychotic, that psychotic illness stays, just like with the seizure. Once the seizure develops, sometimes it is a persistent thing.
I have a question, actually. There was a time where I took Xanax and I fell asleep. I took it to fall asleep. And I mean, I've never been good with anything that forces me to fall asleep. It's never really reacted well. But this time I just needed to fall asleep. I'm like, whatever, I got it. Let's try it. And immediately, I'm going to say within like 10, 15 minutes, I found myself asleep. It's kind of like sleep paralysis where like I couldn't move.
Right.
But it felt like my head was tightening, like my brain was about to, like someone was squeezing my head. And like it felt like what I feel like is what a stroke feels like, and I couldn't move anything, and I could slowly move my arm, left arm and left leg first. Does that just sound like sleep paralysis and that's it?
Here's the thing about strokes. Here's how they feel. You don't feel anything. Just all of a sudden a part of your body goes out. That's how strokes feel. You don't typically feel, unless it's a bleed, but if it's a thrombotic event, you don't feel anything, typically. So strokes don't feel anything. You had sleep paralysis. Absolutely. That's what that was. Did you have any kind of weird thinking or images or anything visually?
No, I just, like in my head, I was awake.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, and then I woke up and I realized that I couldn't move and I could slowly.
Yeah, I think the tightening in your head was probably just you barreling through, trying to force yourself to wake up.
Got it. Because that's always scared me. That ever since I was a kid, that feeling of like squeezing my head had to me always felt like what death feels like right before. So I was always, every time I get that, I'm always worried that it's a stroke, it's probably a heart attack, or
that's
whatever.
That's just you moving your bowels. Because I'm imagining it's a lot of work and that kind of thing probably happens.
Oh, God. No, that's when I squeeze my ass, not my head.
Okay, well, we'll get into that when I examine things. Hey, let's expose the legless scammer. Has he got legs? Is that the problem? He's got legs, right? He's trying to get away. Looks pretty uncomfortable. Ooh. Uh-oh. Well, maybe his legs don't work. Uh-oh. Well, good for him.
Pretty cool, right?
He gets the best of both worlds. He still has his legs, and he gets to beg.
Now, I have a question for you that relates to this video. Who is actually the bigger psychopath here?
The guy that pulls the pants off?
Right. The person who pretends to not have legs, or the guy that's like, I think that guy has legs. You know what? I'm going to find out.
Yeah. I got an issue with the guy pulling the pants off.
Yeah.
That's an assault for sure. And I don't know that those legs work. I mean, he has them tied up all day. That's pretty good.
Right.
So maybe they don't work anymore.
Lord knows
either.
How much cum he has in his balls keeping him from
Stop
doing all
it.
Sorts
don't
of stuff.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Let's see another video.
We don't want you on our team. You're too slow and fat.
Millions of people are impacted by obesity.
Don't you care what other people think?
You need to do something about your weight.
They face unfair weight bias every day.
You're not the right fit for this job.
Weight bias is harmful, not helpful.
I see you haven't lost weight. You must not be trying hard enough.
Everyone keeps judging me.
I'm eating right. I'm exercising.
I'm trying to lose weight.
But it's just too much.
Our words and actions matter.
Everyone deserves to be treated with dignity and respect.
Learn more about weight bias and how to help end it. Visit stopweightbias.com.
Be a part of the solution.
Let's stop weight bias.
Hey,
let's
man.
Work together to stop weight bias today.
I actually agree with that PSA. Come on now.
Really?
Yes. There's no group more seriously discriminated against than fat people. They are really discriminated against, and good for them. Come on, Nadav. You don't want to be discriminated against, do you?
What do you mean? I'm all vaccinated up. I think there's perks to being obese.
Really? Tell me what they are.
I'm getting my second dose on Sunday.
So that is your medical risk
factor.
That is
the first perk though that I have seen in that.
See, you wouldn't, if you weren't heavy, you wouldn't be worrying about falling in the shower while you're having sex. You'd be thinking about having sex and not about falling.
Nah, see, I think that's just my Jewish neuroticism.
Well, there's
I'm just
that
like,
too.
Oh my God, everything's gonna kill me.
No, yeah. I am that fat PSA, I sign off on it. But now you can give me a horrible or hilarious. Oh, it's gonna be anything head trauma, I'm just already horrible. Let's see it. Oh. Oh. Hilarious. It wasn't head trauma, it was sort of forehead trauma. He slipped in it. Was it milk?
Yeah.
Or ice cream or something?
I think he had a leaky dairy carton.
He fell right into it and face first. So good for him. And he got right back up. So hilarious.
Hold on. So
again, when they're not hurt, it's hilarious.
So you think that like there's no possible medical repercussions?
No,
to...
listen. It's a. Oh. Oh.
He got right back up.
I mean, yes, head trauma is a funny thing, right? So here's the deal. That's a pratfall, right? I mean, it's a banana slip on the banana peel fall. Perfect. Okay. There's nothing not funny about that. Unless somebody like is unconscious afterwards. He jumped right back up. It hit the frontal part of his head, which is the best part to hit. Now, it doesn't mean he couldn't have neck problems and some concussion stuff later. It happens.
Right. So it's
possible to get a concussion.
It's possible.
But I'm going to give it hilarious. let's let it be. Let's let pratfalls be pratfalls. Okay. Let's have it. I mean, let's see. Horrible. He's sleeping with the fan on. What's going on there? Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know about you lads, but I'm sleeping with the fan on tonight, baby. I'm beaming.
Ugh. Sometimes, I mean, there's a lane on TikTok of people making funny faces. Have you seen that?
No,
I occasionally have been getting into that.
TikTok via Christina's curations.
Yeah, there are people that,
the biggest thing that actually stood out to me on this is, now, granted, I think he was making a face, so that's probably more of what that was.
Yeah.
But you always, it's always stuck
with
me.
The whites when above
you see,
the pupils.
Yeah, when you see the whites above, that's when that's
well,
problems.
Here's the thing about that. He's looking down, and he's opening his eyes as wide as he can. And if he were looking forward and not, you know, trying to open his eyes, when you see it. It's looking down. It's easier to see how much easier it is. There's more white territory, and it's easier to pull your eyelids back. So no. But good thought, Nadav. Dr. Nadav. Well done.
Thank you, Dr. Drew. I appreciate it. Good thought, comrade.
Do we have any more TikToks?
Shut the fuck up when cops ask questions. Look, see, that's the rearview mirror. If you hang shit from it, like air freshener or anything, that's a vehicle code violation. Cop will pull you over. Stop.
Is he a former cop or something?
No, I think this is one of those like weed lawyers, like billboard people.
He's a weed lawyer?
I think he gets people out of like weed charges. You know?
I see. Yeah, there's a lot of it. There's a whole line of attorneys online telling people, advising people that kind
Pot
of
thing. Brothers at law.
Got it.
He's the one that I remember. There was one where it's just like two guys where it's like, what do you do if a cop pulls you over? Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
What do you do if he finds something? Shut the fuck up.
It's hashtag STFU. But you know, I have lots of attorney friends, and they always say the same thing, which is they're shocked at the way people tell cops at anything. They're always just like, don't say anything, call me.
You know, it's funny. This dude kind of looks like if you didn't have a doctorate degree and took meth.
Yeah.
I feel like this is you right here.
Yeah. We're same coloration, about the same age. And if I let my beard grow out, that's about what it would look like, sorry to say. I dig his sunglasses, too. They're kind of nice, so I got to get those sunglasses. And yeah, unfortunately, that could be me.
Well, good thing it's not, man. You're looking great.
Right. Yes,
you're
looking great. Not. I was getting depressed just thinking about that. But that's okay. Do we have any more voice messages, I'm wondering? Like particularly female, that get some good lady questions. And by the way, there was a male a few minutes ago that said butthole just the way women do. It caught my attention. It's kind of interesting. You said it. Do you notice that? Yeah.
Hi, mommies. I just had a question about eating disorders. So I've been bulimic for about 10 years now. And I'm finally getting treatment in a couple months. But I just wanted to know what physical issues can arise from purging a lot of the time during the day. And, you know, what I should expect to happen to me, possibly. Anyways, love you guys. Bye.
So she's any hints for you guys about where she was calling from?
No.
There were a couple of clues. She had a question about. She's calling from, and she has to wait for her treatment in a couple of months. So all that adds up to Canada for me. So she's in Canada, I suspect. I don't know how long she's going to be treated or exactly what the treatment is going to be. But the medical consequence of bulimia, uncontrolled, like continued bulimia, can be profound. Not to mention your dentition can be, your teeth can be ruined. Your esophagus can be ruined. You can get severe electrolyte problems. Your calcium metabolism can go off. You can demineralize your bones. You can develop kidney problems. I've seen lots of kidney problems, particularly when people start eating again, particularly when they've been using laxatives. They'll swell up like crazy. So, you know, it depends what she's been doing to purging. It sounds like she's been vomiting, which is terrible for your mouth and GI tract. So hopefully she will get this under control and get proper treatment. It's a serious thing. And the electrolyte, these sort of metabolic problems can get so bad that you can damage your heart. That's the really the bad problem with the bulimia, is that you can get cardiac problems. What else you got, Nadav?
Hey, Dr. Drew, this is Spencer from Minnesota.
Spencer.
I'm just wondering, why can I fart without shitting, but I can't shit without farting? Thanks, and fuck my stoma.
You know, I had a friend that's a young, healthy person who had a stoma, and she was upset about it, and I sent her that picture from Christina's tour, Fuck My Stoma. Made her day. So why can I got to get this right. Why can I fart without shitting but can't shit without farting? So as the stool is coming out, there's sort of gas kind of pockets mixed in. So they're coming out. The shit comes, the gas kind of caught in there. While if you have gas that makes it all the way into the base of the rectum at the anus, you can kind of let that go without any, it's a skill you develop in terms of controlling that muscle down there early in childhood, right? You can kind of, you know, keep the stool in, but you can release the gas. I can tell you that after prostate surgery, when I had my prostate taken out, I had to kind of rework some of that a little bit. Some of that coordination was off after they pulled out my prostate. So it is something that can be affected by lots of different things. So
I was the same after my colectomy or diverticulitis surgery.
Oh, really? You had a little, yeah.
Well, yeah, the way that I was browning was just like the signals just kind of worked differently.
Yeah, and did it come all the way back or did you have to kind of,
it came back to normal. Like I remember at first it was just like, man, why is it so uncomfortable to sit right now? And then I was like, oh, let's try browning. And then that fixed it.
So for me, it did not go back to normal. I had to kind of rework things. And the ability, you know, urinating and holding the brown back and all that was kind of a little bit of a new skill set I had to learn. That's all I'm saying.
Damn.
So Susan and I are going to Greece for our 30th wedding anniversary if they stay open long enough into these countries. And so I'm learning Greece. I'm learning Greek, guys. I'm learning Greek and I'm learning a new language and it's exciting for me. So I don't know why I'm sharing that with you, but I'm just sharing.
Hell
it.
Yeah.
It's a fatty stow is about all I can say. A fatty stow for that.
But actually also this is almost, I'd say scientific evidence and proof that indeed shits do push the farts out, but farts don't push the shits out.
Shits come with the fart and farts make their way all the way to the end on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the shit pushes the fart out. It's like the farts are sort of caught in with the shit.
It's along for the ride.
It's along for the ride, exactly. On that very intellectual note, let's kind of wrap this thing up. Again, I want you all to be using the store.ymhstudios.com to get the Rational Revolution mug so we can really express our revolution to all who see that image. I'm going to make a flag on it or something. DrDrewAfterDark@gmail.com for all the great emails. And, of course, the voice messages at 818-253-1693. Gentlemen in the booth, thank you so much for being part of this program.
Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you for all the coaching. I think I'm going to be better. I think I'm going to do better.
Hell yeah, man. I'll be on standby when you're in Greece. Give me a call.
I'll coach
you in there.
Yeah, man. And then you're going to be help me with the governor's run if I decide to do that. You're going to...
Absolutely. I'll be your hype man. And any speech you got, you're just going to be like, yeah. And also, we need to take care of the homeless. I'm going to be like, the homeless! Just in the corner, like a rap concert.
Yeah, just like point at the ceiling. I dig it. I really do dig it. This is going to be awesome. This is going to be something new for California. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for all those great emails and voice messages. And we will see you next time.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.